3. Again, in verse 15, Paul had just spoken about the blessing of Abraham coming on us through Jesus Christ, how we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And he says this in verse 15, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men." Now, he's speaking by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, but he's using an earthly illustration to speak of this eternal covenant. He says, "Though it be but a man's covenant," and the word here is a man's testament, like a will and testament. "Though it be but a man's testament, yet if it be confirmed," if it's written out, it's signed, it's sealed, it's witnessed, particularly by the death of the testator, the man who wrote out his will and testament, when he dies, all this has been done. It's been written out, signed, sealed, witnessed, and he dies. "No man disannulleth or addeth thereto." No man can make it void. They can't add to it. And if that's the case among men, then that's certainly the case with God. And so he says this, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." Now, the word covenant here is the word testament. It's the word testament, like a will and testament. When our Lord Jesus said, when he was instituting the Lord's table, and he said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The word he used there when he said testament is the same word Paul uses here and is translated covenant. God's covenant's like a man's last will and testament. That's what it's like. He does everything. God, like the man would do everything, God does all. He arranges it. He orders it. He chooses who he'll give to. He does everything in it. And his people passively receive the inheritance that he's giving. That's how God's testament is. He gave Abraham a promise. Promised him, ultimately, the promise was an inheritance. Paul called it there in verse 18, the inheritance. Eternal life. Eternal life. He made many promises, and they're all part of this covenant. They're all part of this testament, and our God fulfills all of these promises. Every one of them. They're certain. He will fulfill them. But ultimately, they work toward this grand promise of eternal life, the inheritance. The inheritance. It's like a man makes his will and testament and he leaves an inheritance. God has promised us an inheritance. But then God gave another covenant at Sinai. And it was a covenant of works. It was a contract. It was not a testament. It was not like a testament. It was a contract. The works of the law can't disannul and they can't add to God's testament. His covenant, his everlasting will and testament. And the law can't add to that, and the law couldn't disannul that. You know, we're so accustomed to saying the old covenant and the new covenant. And when you read in Hebrews and it talks about the old covenant being unprofitable and weak, and it was weak because of sinners. And he says, and so God disannulled it. Christ fulfilled it, took it out of the way, and then he brought in the new covenant. But actually, the new covenant was before the old covenant. The new covenant's what's always been. It was the old covenant that was temporary. It was temporary. He said, verse 18, if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. So I want to look at God's testament. I want to look at God's testament, God's covenant. Now, first of all, when a man makes out his testament, he's making his last will and testament. And when he makes it out, he does it before the inheritance is given. He does it before it's time to sit down and hear what it is he's left. He does it beforehand. And it's all laid out by him. It's his will. It's what he's willing to give. It's all his will. He does it before, and it's his will that's done. And that's how it is with God, our Father. God made his testament in eternity. Before he made anything in this world, he made his testament. He set forth his will, his counsel, his testament. And he made it all ordered and sure. He arranged everything about it according to his will. And all the promises that we hear and all the promises he tells us in time, they were all complete in the purpose of God in Christ before the world was. We read in Titus 1:2 of we have hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's what he's talking about, this testament. So this testament was confirmed before of God in Christ. Now, in our text, he's talking about when he confirmed it to Abraham. But even before Abraham, it was confirmed of God in Christ. Before the world was made, God set down all things in this covenant. And he wasn't obligated to do this. He didn't have to do this. It was his will. It was his will to do this. He said, can I not do with mine own what I will? And it was his will to do this. And everything included in God's everlasting covenant is God's will. This is God's will. And so it's unalterable. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Aren't you thankful for this, brethren? Because everything in this world has variables in it when we set out to do anything. But with God, what he's determined before to be done shall be done. And I find great comfort there. I can rest there. I can know that I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know the answers. I don't have to know what God's doing. I don't know half the time what God's doing. But I know who's doing it. And I can rest right there. This is his eternal. Whatever comes to pass is God's eternal purpose. It's his will. This is all in the fulfillment of this, for the fulfillment of this testament. Now, secondly, God's covenant's unlike a man's covenant in some ways, because the Son of God is the testator and he is the heir. It's his covenant. He's the testator. The Son of God's, he's equal with God. He is God. So when we talk about God arranging this covenant, this is as much his covenant as it is the Father's covenant and as it is the Spirit's covenant. He's God. But the Son of God entered covenant with the Father. There were some conditions in this for towards his people to fulfill everything, to settle the sin and to deal with the curse so that God could freely give this inheritance to his people. And so the Son of God came down as the God-man mediator. He came down. He came to be the messenger of the covenant. He came to be the mediator of the covenant. And in fact, he is the covenant. He said in Isaiah, I've given you for a covenant of the people. And so look over at Hebrews 9:15. So he's God in human flesh. And as God, he took flesh like his brethren, like the heirs, like those that he came to give this inheritance to. And here's why he did it. Hebrews 9:15. For this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament. It's the same word right there. He's the mediator of the New Testament that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it's of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So our Lord came down to be the mediator of this New Testament. He's God and He's man. So he's fulfilling his obligations for God, and he's filling his obligations for God's chosen people. Because when any time there's a testament, it's got to be confirmed. It's got to be in effect when the man has died. So that's what Christ came forth for. Now, somebody will hear that and they'll say, well, how did God promise Abraham this inheritance? And how did he have this promise so sure? And it be so settled and be confirmed when Christ hadn't shed his blood yet. He hadn't died yet. Well, Christ Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the blood of Christ is effectual to cleanse all his saints before the cross, and his blood's effectual to cleanse all his saints after the cross. His blood is effectual. Every blessing God purposed to give in His will and testament is free to His people. Absolutely free. We passively receive these blessings that God has given us by promise as an inheritance because the blood of Christ the testator, He has shed His blood in the room instead of His people. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And He came to shed His blood. So Christ called it the New Testament in my blood. This thing is ratified. It's confirmed. Because when Christ said it's finished and He gave up the ghost, this thing was settled. It was confirmed. And He did it by His blood. And He put away the sins of His people as He honored God's law, declaring God to be a just God and a Savior. But also, Christ is the heir. He's the heir. A man chooses who will be his heir. He makes the choice of who's going to receive his inheritance. And God the Father chose who would receive his inheritance. And He chose, first and foremost, His Son to be his heir. He chose His Son to be his heir. It was God's good pleasure to freely give His Son a kingdom. He said, My Father hath appointed unto me a kingdom. He said, it's not of this world. He said, if it was of this world, my people would fight. It's not of this world. And so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's a spiritual warfare. And we have spiritual weapons. It's the gospel. And God, He sends forth the Spirit, and He works in Spirit, and He creates a spiritual people. And so this whole kingdom is going to be made up of His spiritual kingdom that He's made in righteousness and holiness. And so God the Father also chose His elect in His Son and entrusted it all to Christ so that they would be joint heirs with Christ. So that whatever He did, we would do, and we would be joint heirs. And born of His irresistible grace by His Spirit, we are. We're joint heirs. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8, and look at verse 15. You've not received, let's read verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, whenever He speaks here in our text in Galatians 3, and He says there, in verse 16, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. It's because Christ is the preeminent Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. God chose that He was going to be the firstborn among many brethren. And you picture a father giving to his firstborn son everything that is his. And his son's pleased him. His son has fulfilled everything that was in his will to do. And the father's pleased with him. And the father promised him to be the first among all his brethren. But instead of being like you've heard in the past in this world where somebody will be the heir and then they just have it all and none of the other children have anything, Christ is the heir, and He's given the glory to give these blessings to all His brethren in the house so that we're joint heirs with Him. And that assures that we're going to get the blessing because He will not fail. He shall give these blessings to all His people. God's elect are Christ's portion. What did God promise him as the heir? He promised him a people. And that's Christ's portion. That's His inheritance. Deuteronomy 32:9 says the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. You think, well, boy, that's a pitiful inheritance for our Redeemer to receive us. Oh, but when He gets done, it's going to be an inheritance that is a trophy of His grace and what He's done, and He's delighted in what He's done and made His people. And Christ our King, this kingdom's made up of all those that are His brethren that He redeemed, and they're His inheritance, and our inheritance is our King. He's our inheritance. In Numbers 18:20, our Lord typified this with the old covenant priests. We know Christ through His blood, He's making us priests unto God, kings and priests unto God. He makes us what He is. He's the king priest. He makes us kings and priests unto God. He makes us like Him. And so whenever the Lord gave His priests their inheritance in Canaan, here's what He said. The Lord spake to Aaron and said, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Neither shalt thou have any part among them. Why not? I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And that's what He says to you and me, brethren. Isn't that what He said to Abraham? The Lord came to Abraham in a vision. He said, fear not, Abraham. Listen to that, brethren. Listen to that. God help us hear this. He said, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Don't fear the wind and the waves. Don't fear the trouble. Don't fear anything below. Fear Him. And if we fear Him, we don't have anything else to fear. Fear not. Fear not. Let me show you this. Go to Isaiah 43. I was just talking, Brother Eric, the other night, and he was preaching from this, and I got to thinking about this and looking at it, and it's such a blessing. I love Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Now here's why. Listen. For I have redeemed thee. Brethren, Christ bought us with His blood. We're His. We're His possession. Now listen, I've redeemed thee, and I've called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. I redeemed you, and I called you. I named you. You're mine. He named you Israel. He named you after Him. You're His. And He says, when you pass through the waters, you will. I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, Seba for thee. Everything that's happening in this world, brethren, everything, with every nation and people that God has raised up to make His power and His wrath known, is to show the vessels of mercy just how rich His mercy is to us. I've given up nations for you. Since you were precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee. Therefore, I'll give men for thee, and I'll give people for thy life. Fear not, I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone is called by my name. For I created him for my glory. I formed him. Yeah, I made him. God's going to get the glory. He's going to get the glory. So he told Abraham, fear not, Abraham. Here's why. I am thy shield. I'm your defense. I'm your refuge. I'm going to protect you. That's his promise to you, child of God. That's his promise to each of us as his people. That's his promise to us of his church. I believe him. Don't you? He's our shield. And here's what else he says. And I am thy exceeding great reward. The word is compensation. I'm your compensation. I'm your compensation. So we're his inheritance and he's our inheritance. And now the Lord Jesus has the glory of giving all the blessings that God promised included in this free inheritance. He has that glory. That's his. Through the Spirit, through faith in Him, because He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's the heir who's going to give out all the promises to all His brethren. He gives us the Spirit of regeneration. Why? Because God promised it. God promised to send the Spirit. And every one of His heirs are going to receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's going to enter into them and give them life. Every one of them. Not a one's going to be left out. He promised to give us a new spirit. He's going to give us a new spirit. He promised to continually purge our conscience. He's going to purge our conscience. He's going to keep you. When we turn aside, He's going to chasten His people, correct His people, humble His people, and He's going to bring us to His feet. And He's going to do that. I've seen this. I've seen it. He'll do it. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. The Holy Ghost bears witness to us so that we have peace with God in Christ. He tells us that your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. And there's our peace. And he gives you this promise. He tells you right now, you're no more strangers and foreigners. But before he did this, we were citizens of this world, of this corrupt generation. Because we were dead in sin. But when He's worked this in our heart, He says, now, therefore, you're no more citizen. You're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. And you're of the household of God. This is our Father speaking. Our everlasting Father speaking. He said, you're children in my house. He's going to take care of His house. I believe it. And so all the blessings that He promised, redemption, pardon, justification, sanctification, perseverance, and all ending in our eternal inheritance and glory, it's all given us freely from Christ's hand. The firstborn, the heir, gives it all because He's made us joint heirs with Him through His blood. And here's what He says to us again. Fear not. Little flock, fear not, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said over in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. And there's only one way you overcome. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You overcome looking to him and trusting him. And he said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. It's his good pleasure to give you as an eternal inheritance the kingdom. So lastly, when our Lord called Abraham, this is the covenant God made with Abraham. This is what he was teaching Abraham. There were no conditions that were put in Abraham's hand. God confirmed it in Christ by two immutable things, his word and his oath. Go over to Hebrews 6 and let's see that. Hebrews 6. It says there, he confirmed this promise before in Christ to Abraham. Hebrews 6:13. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Verse 14, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee. Surely. He's saying it's ordered in all things and sure. I will bless thee. There's the promise. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. All his people do. All his people do. For men, now watch this. Verily, men swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, so that by two immutable things, both of which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And the hope we have is an anchor of the soul. This is what's going to keep us anchored. This is what's going to keep us from drifting when the storm's raging. He's the anchor. Look, both sure and steadfast. Because he didn't leave anything in our hand. It's sure and steadfast, and it enters into that within the veil. He's entered into the holiest of holies. He's the forerunner, and he is for us entered. Even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So when he says back in our text here, he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed which is Christ. You know what a blessing that is? That's a blessing. When he said, not to seeds as of many. He said, to Christ. He made this promise to Christ. And here's why that's important. It includes all Abraham's spiritual seed. It includes all his elect. Everyone he's going to save is included in this covenant, in this testament, in this promise. But he speaks only of Christ the seed. But God declares, there's absolutely no separation between Christ and his people. He's the head, and we're the body, and we're one in him. And when he made this covenant with Christ, he put it all in Christ's hand. From the redeeming us on the cross, well, actually, creating the world and all things in it. Overruling when Satan entered the garden and mankind fell in Adam. He was ruling every bit of that. Our mediator was. From giving the old patriarchs the blessing he gave to them and pointing out those shadows and types. He did all of that. He even gave the old covenant. And then he came and fulfilled it completely and took it out of the way. And he used it as a shadow and a type and a picture to show us who we are. We're spiritual Israel. And he's the high priest. And he's the one that worked all of this. And he's sending this spirit forth. He's calling out his people. He's working in his people. And he's sending you trials. You know why he sends us trials? He may strip you till you just don't think you can be stripped anymore. But it's in the trial that he manifests those that are his. Is that not so? He said there must needs be heresies, that they which are approved may be made manifest. He approved us. He assayed us. And He's the one who's going to keep His people and teach His people in the midst of the trial. He's going to do it. I saw a church one time in terrible trouble. And if you'd have saw it, you'd have said, there's no hope for them. And like that text in Isaiah, the brethren there were trying to run when God said, your strength is to look to me. But that was necessary. It was absolutely necessary. It was wrong, but it was necessary. Why? That was a preacher school for some. It was disciple school for everybody. And I guarantee you now, that church is healthy. That church is thriving. And I guarantee you now, if you'd have asked those brethren, would you change anything about what happened? They'd say, not a thing. Not one thing. Not one thing. Not condoning our sin, not condoning our just making a fool of ourselves. Not condoning any of that. But every bit of that was necessary. Every bit of that was necessary. And this is the promise of God. Our Lord said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He can strip. And when He does it, trust Him. Just trust Him. But everything here, there's no separation. We're in Him. And everything He did and everything He's doing is strictly for His body. As the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. Lord, help me to remember. I wouldn't chop off any, the most insignificant part of my body, I don't even want to chop it off. Because it's part of my body. It's a member. And let's remember that. Your members are put there for a reason, and He puts every fitly frames us together. And every member is needed. And He's going to provide for every member of His body. And this testament by His blood was confirmed, it was ratified, and it guarantees us that every promise of God is sure, is steadfast. It's going to be given to His spiritual children because Christ fulfilled all covenant obligations for His people. Confirmed before of God in Christ. And you know, a testament is sealed. When you do your testament, they're going to seal it. Notary's going to seal it. Well, the Holy Spirit is the seal of this testament. And He comes into our hearts and He seals us with the blood of Christ, continually keeping us looking to Christ and remembering. He's going to have mercy on you. For Christ's sake. He's going to forgive you for Christ's sake. And that is what is going to keep our hearts melted and keep us mourning our sin and hating our sin and strengthening the inner man to follow Him. That's what's going to do it. That's what's going to do it. And that's why He's saying here, if a man confirmed his last will and testament and the testator has died, no law is going to disannul that. No law is going to add to that. And neither could the law of Sinai. He said that covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of no effect. Because it's by promise. And if it was of us in any way, it wouldn't be by promise. and God gave it by promise. The Sanhedrin never made an obedient sinner. Never. The law never has made an obedient sinner. It's beholding our sin in Christ, crucified, dying, wounded, and bleeding on our behalf, that God makes you mourn what you are, what you've done, what you've said, everything about yourself. And whenever I get to the point where I'm not mourning what I am, then I need to look to the cross. And I need to see Christ. And I need to see what He's done. And I need to hear God say, for His sake, I've forgiven you. And I keep forgiving you. And I'll never cease forgiving you. And that's what's going to keep us. That's what's going to keep us obedient. That's what's going to keep us being long-suffering. That's what's going to keep us being patient. That's what's going to keep us loving. And that's it. It's the fruit of the Spirit from beholding Christ, our covenant, and what He's done. And brethren, Abraham and our fathers lived before that covenant given at Sinai, and they lived looking for a city. They lived looking for those promises. And the Hebrew writer said they all died in faith. They hadn't received the promises. He hadn't created a new heaven and a new earth. Christ hadn't come yet. But having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them. And they embraced them. And they confessed they're strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And that's what we are. We're strangers and pilgrims in this earth. We have one lasting possession. Just one. You do some inventory and decide you think you've got a lot, I can promise you this. You got one possession. And it's Christ. In the end, nothing we have now, we're going to have one thing, that's Christ. And He's teaching us that every day as we go through. And He's our inheritance. But listen to this now, and I'm done. You know that old covenant, when He brought them in there, and they didn't fulfill any of the things that He told them to do. It was a contract. This is a testament. This is passively we received inheritance. That was a contract. They had an obligation, but they didn't fulfill them. But when He brought them in there, this is what was said, and this is what's going to be, this was said of them carnally, temporally. This is what's going to be said of us spiritually. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promises which He promised by the hand of Christ His servant. Not one. And here's why. Because all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Christ they're amen unto the glory of God. I pray that, Lord, if you're having trouble hearing preaching right now, hearing me preach, go back and listen to some of the older messages. The Lord's going to work what we've been hearing Him declare. He's going to work these promises. And I don't know how, and I don't know what, but I trust He will. And because it's sure and steadfast. Father, we pray that You would give us hearts to rest in Christ. Give us hearts to wait on You and look to You. Lord, we really don't have any understanding to lean unto. Make Christ our wisdom. Give us the mind of Christ. And Lord, deal with us like You've always dealt with us in Christ. And help us to remember whose we are. And remember what we are. And remember that your promise is certain. Don't let us look on the outward appearance. Don't let us look on the flesh. Make us look on Christ and strengthen us inwardly in heart. And make us walk by faith. Lead us by your Spirit. Father, we beg of you. We ask you for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Show us again that these promises are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. We believe you, Father, but we do have a lot of unbelief. And we need faith that you promised it. And we ask you, Father, please make good on that promise. Do it for Christ's sake. In his precious name we ask it. Amen.